of those days I wish I had 3 hours to talk on the radio. We have so much to talk about. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we are headed again for uncharted territory weather-wise as we push toward 94 degrees. If we hit 94, it will be the warmest temperature ever recorded so late in the year.
Well, you know what surprises me is this isn't the only time that November has seen 90-degree temperatures.
No.
But we haven't seen 94.
1999, we hit 93, yeah, which was the previous all-time high. But I'm sick of it. Weather will change this weekend. It's going to get a lot cooler, which is good news, and I welcome that. It is Thursday, November 5th, 2020, national election plus, what are we now, plus 2 days and still waiting. We're here on the radio, bringing Southern Arizonans together in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's trusted voice for News Talk. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our monthly visit with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, Democrat, Ward 6. Councilman, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing well. I have so much to cover today, and I have to begin with the elections, of course. What we saw here, Steve, in Pima County was truly extraordinary, of historic proportions. Basically, Steve Kasachek, if you had an R after your name on the ballot, you were not winning this election.
Well, you know, that's Pima County, and it's also believing blowback from what we've experienced for the last 4 years with the Trump administration. Add to that the fact that the state legislature has continued to pass preemptive laws that affect our local jurisdiction's ability to make local decisions, and the voters just are saying enough. I think we've got a good strong board of supervisors. Though I appreciate Rex Scott and the campaign that he ran. Matt Hines is going to be a good addition as well. He brings a good skill set. And Adelita Grijalva will bring her education background. So I think that we've got some interesting new voices on the board that are gonna say, we're gonna work cooperatively and collaboratively with the city of Tucson. We haven't had that real effectively in the last several years. And I think this new group of folks is going to actually achieve that. And I look forward to working with them. I've reached out to both Matt and Rex, and welcomed into the land of public service.
And we'll have a sit down with Rex here in the next week or two. By the way, it is the first time my district, District 1, supervisorial district in the foothills, has had a Democrat representing that area since back in 1972. Steve.
Wow, I didn't realize it had been that long. He brings, he used to be a Republican. He's a fairly moderate guy, but he's got a strong background in education. When I spoke to him probably 6 months before the election, when he was still kind of considering it all, I was impressed with how much he had already done his homework. You know, he knew the budget. He knew the issues that are really affecting not only that district but the county. And also had a good sense as to how important it is to work collaboratively with the city of Tucson as well. So I think he'll be a good addition. He'll certainly do his homework.
I have pushed this COVID item up to near the top of our discussion today because I just looked at the figures from the Arizona Department of Health, and they're quite shocking. We're now over 2,100 cases, new cases in Arizona, according to the latest numbers. We haven't been over 2,000 in a long while in the state. The good news is here in Pima County, we're under 200 new cases.
Well, so I put an asterisk by these daily counts because there is such a lag in reporting. And you look tomorrow, that 200 may turn into 1,200. And
the 2,000, yeah.
For Pima.
Oh, for Pima, okay.
County. Yeah, that number goes up and down from day to day, and there's no consistency to it. I am absolutely concerned about what's happening in Pima County. I don't think we're on an off-ramp at all. I would add this. Last last week or 2 weeks ago at our city council meeting, I had a resolution that I wanted the council to adopt that would encourage, because we can't compel the U of A, but encourage the U of A to implement mandatory testing for all students before they come back in January. Right now, the students who are living off campus, and there are about 35,000 of them, they're not subject to mandatory testing. It's only if you are in a dorm on campus that you are. So U of A did a full court press, and they pushed back against it, and the council rejected the resolution 5-1. The two bases that the U of A used for us to push back, number one, they said it was pandering, but number two, they said it was unconstitutional. Frankly, Clemson is doing it. State University of New York is doing mandatory testing. University of Illinois is doing it. Most of the Ivy League schools are doing it. It's being done all over the country. It's not unconstitutional. And I found it odd that this Monday morning, 3 days ago, in his Monday briefing, President Robbins announced that they're going to be requiring mandatory testing for all U of A students when they come back in January. They're working out the logistics of it right now. ASU has been doing it since the start. At ASU, if you don't do your wellness check for two straight days, they'll lock you out of all of your accounts, and that's your email account, your assignments, even if you're online, online tutoring, everything that you access online at ASU. And so it was just amazing to me that the rest of this council, including the mayor, said, no, we're not going to even encourage the U of A to do off-campus mandatory testing. And a week later, the U of A is doing it. That is a significant cohort of students where, as you and I have spoken before, we know that those high-rises are hot spots. The testing I've been involved with, we've had over 35% in some of those places. Some of the Greek houses have had over 80%, and Pima County had to ask itself to quarantine buildings. And so the numbers, 200 today, yesterday it was, I think it was 1,200, it's up and down. We are not in a good place in Pima County. Terry Cullen from Pima County Health says that what happens on campus can create a tidal wave out into the community, her words. So we have to really be sure that when Thanksgiving parties happen, and by the way, we just had Halloween. The U of A was very disappointed in the number of over 100 participant Halloween parties that they saw around campus. And so we're 3 days away out from that, too, 4 days out from that. You won't see the impact of that for another week. In terms of the delay period between when the infection hits and when it's measurable, so we're not out of the woods. And people just need to understand that the virus is the one that sets the rules. The United States for the first time yesterday, for the first time, had over 100,000 new cases, and hospitalizations were over 50,000 for the first time since August. So we're not, you know, we can't take this lightly, and I'm certainly glad that the U of A is considering doing the mandatory when the students come back in January, but the fact that it took them this long to get to that point really has been the cause of some of the infection rate out in this community.
You are getting back to the election and trying now in the aftermath of the election. What's this that I hear about you're going to try to bring some folks together with a community dialogue? Could you give a plug for that, please?
The Center for Community Dialogue is hosting an online forum. I have the link in my most recent newsletter. We did this back in 2016, and the hope was, the goal was that as people came out of what then was a very contentious election, and it is equally, if not more so, this time, people were just looking for a way to get together and say, how do we move forward? You look at the news every night. Last night we had major protests outside of an election center in Phoenix, and we're fighting in the streets. And this, my gosh, I mean, this country, if not this community, are so divided right now. And so Center for Community Dialogue is hosting this virtually. The intent is to give people a safe space to come and share their thoughts and feelings. and hopefully to develop some relationships that we can have going forward, so that the bitterness that we see right now out in the community just subsides, and people find a way to be able to sit down across a table from one another and have a civil conversation, even if you've supported different candidates, whether that's at the presidential or the senatorial level or the local level. And so I'm hoping that the center's effort pays dividends again. Last time we did it in 16, coming away from it, people said we need to do this again. And in fact, we did. We did it for education. We did it for health care, some other more topical events. But this one is, how do we figure out how to work and live together in the aftermath of this election?
Well, I can tell you one thing, Councilman, that most people agree on, that Mona's Danish Bakery is one of the finest bakeries, if not in Arizona, but in the United States. People love Mona's.
Absolutely, and I suspect you'll be there over the weekend working or jogging up.
You bet. Mona's okay. Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open right now for lunch. Of course, they open at 6:30 for breakfast. They've got some limited indoor. They're very health conscious. Everybody wears a mask to enter the bakery. Some indoor, but there's plenty of room out on the patio. And they welcome online orders. Check it out. Call ahead. Have your order ready, and you can pick it up. Mona's open 6:30 a.m. to 5 in the afternoon, Monday through Saturday. Then Sundays, when I'm usually up there for breakfast. Sundays, 7 to 2 in the afternoon. We'll see you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Steve Kasacek stays with us on the live line back after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this week we welcome a new partner to our lineup of partners, great partners to the program. Everybody knows I love wildlife animals, so it makes sense that Reed Park Zoo is now a partner of the Buckmaster Show. Here we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, on the live line for his monthly visit. Downtown project that hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, Steve Kasachek, because of the election, this item, this space at 75 East Broadway. Would you address that, please?
Sure. We just voted to move it forward last night. It's going to be an excellent project. The thing started out, months and months ago, as a 20-story mixed-use project that will include office and residential, retail, and some parking, which is always at a premium. They've scaled it back a little bit and changed some of the principles in the deal, but it's really still basically the same sort of notion. It is going to have retail yet to be determined on the first two floors, and then it'll have several floors of combined office, parking, and residential live workspaces. It's moving forward now. We just, as I say, we just approved it last night. They're going to go into the work of getting the construction documents drawn up and all the permitting done, and hopefully break ground here pretty soon and get this thing up and moving. A lot of tenant improvements going to be happening, and it's just yet another amenity to the downtown core. And I'm encouraged by seeing the fact, and when I had the conversation with the developers, I made this comment to them. I'm encouraged by the fact that lending institutions are still looking at a project like this, and it's about an $80 million project, and they're able to get the funding for it, even in these days of COVID. So it's encouraging that the people who are funding these projects and the developers who are willing to take their own personal risk are recognizing that we're not going to be in this condition forever. And by the time they actually get up and running and get their certificate of occupancy, maybe in a couple of years, then we'll be back closer to what normal used to be. And so, it'll be good.
Yeah, it's encouraging that a project in these times, a project this big, would be moving forward. And, we had Janos Wilder on the show. It was Tuesday. Janos was joining us. I've known Janos forever, and you've known him, Steve Kasachek, for a long time. I don't think he is out of the business of serving people food. The Carriage House, I put it to him bluntly, couldn't the Carriage House be kind of go a segue into kind of some kind of a restaurant dining room? And he said, absolutely, yes. So Janos is not going away, Steve Kasachek.
No. He is not hanging up his apron.
No.
And there, see, he can put it in the washer, clean it up, and come back. But no, he, Cafe Poca Cosa, some of the other restaurants in the downtown core, and it's not just downtown, but it's small businesses all over are having a tough time right now. But I think many of them, we have right now about a $450,000 grant fund that I worked with the county on for 4th Avenue businesses. The Downtown Tucson Partnership got about the same amount from the county for downtown businesses. And so there are these lifelines that are out there that a lot of these businesses are relying on. Depending on what happens in the federal election, we may see some more federal CARES dollars coming down the pike as well. But, for instance, right around the corner from the Ward 6 office, we have the Benedictine project that's going up. I was over by it this morning, and they're going vertical, and they hope to be leasing spaces by the middle of 21. So that, you know, that's encouraging. And then you'll have probably a restaurant on what used to be the old Sanctuary. The former Rincon Market is right now working, doing tenant improvements, and they're going to reopen as a restaurant slash grocery store. So again, we have these projects that are working, and the existing businesses, for instance, Mona's, the ones that are hanging on,
yep,
really are relying on guys like you, guys like me, customers who do the drive up. Keep their noses above water so that they can survive until we all do see a better day, and we will.
We will. Let's go now to the live line. Caller Matt is with us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Be safe. Real quickly, Steve, can you address two issues, the status of receipts for the city, and I'm also really concerned, again, a lot of calls with people afraid of evictions in the city. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Our revenues are going to be a challenge, but they're actually a little bit better than what we thought they'd be at this point. We are just at the very front end of working our beginning our budget conversation, but the first quarter revenues, which is where we are ending, we're mildly encouraged by what we're seeing. We had thought that the bottom was going to fall out, and it really hasn't. I mean, it's not great. You know, we're going to have a deficit to have to address. We don't know what that's going to be yet, but it's certainly not as bad as what we'd anticipated. Matt, that eviction question is so important. The city has put several million dollars into eviction prevention. So has the county. The state has put some money into it, amazingly. And the problem is the deadline on the moratorium for evictions is coming up. Both the state deadline and the federal deadline at the end of the year. My big concern about this is that, and I've spoken to people, spoken to lenders, spoken to landlords and tenants, just because you've got this moratorium on the payment of your rent doesn't mean that obligation's going away. And so people need to be working with their landlords right now to say, I can't pay you 100%, but can I give you $50? Can I give you $100 to make sure that that balloon that they're going to have once these eviction moratoriums end isn't just absolutely huge and unmanageable? Because in fairness, the landlords have costs as well. I mean, they're paying utilities, they're paying for maintenance and upkeep on the properties. So every tenant and every landlord I speak to is, let's sit down, let's make sure that you're talking to each other and working out payment plans so that we're doing this together. But it could be a real problem. People just assume that those debts are going away and ignore the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, those debts are going to come due.
Yeah, they're not being forgiven. People are confused with this now.
No, they're not. You're right. The landlords aren't getting the monthly rent payments, but that doesn't mean they disappear. The same is true with some of the utility payments. You know, Tucson Water, for instance. You know, I know TEP and Southwest Gas have some payment plans that they're working with people on, but they're not simply absorbing these costs. It's not as though they disappear forever. So people really need to keep that in mind. That you know, the other side of the equation has costs they need to meet and expenses they need to meet as well.
Yeah, I want to segue here real quickly. We talked, I think, the last time you were on about the future of the GEM show. Yes, kind of the granddaddy of the GEM show is what really started it all. The event at the Tucson Convention Center will not be going forward, but there may be quite a bit of activity still, correct?
Yes. Tucson Gem and Mineral, and I say to their credit, they made the decision that they were going to forego this year, this spring show. They have, as you point out, they've been the
anchor. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. They've been the anchor forever. They've been in the TCC. They just felt like they couldn't put on the show that they wanted to this year. And they were the retail show. They were the ones who classes went to, you know, school children and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. They were, you know, for guys like you and me who don't go in and buy, you know, $10,000 gemstones.
That's right.
I do too. But the rest of them, there are another 40 or 50 that are still considering whether or not this makes sense for them. I spoke to the guy who is really managing the gem shows, plural, for us. His name is Andy Squire, out of the city manager's office, earlier this week. And he says that, you know, they were given Pima County health guidelines that relates to distancing and how many displays you can have up and how many people in the site you can have at a given time. And they're considering them. You know, they have not all cashed their chips and decided they're gonna give up on this spring. So, it's a huge economic issue for the city of Tucson. If they can do it safely, and that's what they're figuring out right now, I think we're going to see, obviously, a scaled down version of the gem show. But I don't think they're all just going to jump ship and say we're just going to give up on the spring of 21.
All right, I have less than 40 seconds coming up in a hard break. What about the rodeo, quickly?
Same thing, you know, same conversations are happening. How do you do this safely? How do you do the distancing? And again, one of the challenges is that this is November, what, 5th?
Yep.
We don't know what the situation is going to be in 30 days or 60 days. And so all this is fluid. And that's why everyone's staying a little bit light on their feet and not checking that no box quite yet.
All right. Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. Stay safe. Thanks, Steve.
You too, Bill. Thanks a bunch.
All right.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. 50 years and still growing. It's all started in 1970, and look what it's turned into. Beautiful 13-acre site with all those beautiful plants for your garden. Getting ready now for the autumn. Finally coming in Arizona. You'd never know it today. Today's somewhat of an anomaly as we reached probably the warmest temperature ever recorded in November, but things will cool off and your garden will be ready for the fall and winter planting. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village is also on the site over there on River Road, and they have all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Now, on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, let's go to Vail, Arizona, the home of Dr. David Levy, who is the Buckmaster contributor on science, the former editor, science editor of Parade Magazine, now heading up, and the founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. For folks who don't know, Dr. Levy's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, still searching for the elusive two dozen. He's got 23 notches and still looking for number 24. David, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, although I've been absolutely mesmerized with this election. I've barely able to tear myself away for the last 3 days.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Do you have a vote yet in from Mars? Excuse me.
We have no vote from Mars.
Anything
we
from
Venus? We do have
Venus?
A polling station about maybe 5 miles from here, but Wendy and I voted long ago by in person.
Yeah. So nothing from Venus either.
No, nothing from Venus. It doesn't look that way.
The people from Venus.
They might have to inquire. They might have to send a message asking, what do you guys think? Because they can't seem to stop the counting and get a resolution to this thing.
You know, David, we were up and enjoyed Mount Rainier. We were lucky. Most people who go up there don't see the mountain because really one in four visitors never see it because it's under the clouds. But it's still active, isn't it?
On my last flight from Seattle, the pilot took us right over it and right next to it, and I got some pretty good pictures of it. I think I shared them with you.
You did. You did. Real nice pictures.
But it's an active volcano, and it's been active before, and it will be again, but it hasn't been active in over a century.
Hmm. Is it due then, or how do those...
Oh, it's always due. There's a supernova that's due. And there's an election result that's due. It's just that we have no idea when we're going to get either of them.
Well, you know, it's 2020, so there's nothing that feels very secure until hopefully New Year's Eve and we ring in a new year and better times. David, any news on what kind of meteor shower can we look for here as we get into the autumn
season?
One
of the things, though, about Mount Rainier is that it kind of reminds me of volcanoes throughout the solar system, especially the ones on Jupiter's moon Io. In fact, they were discovered there by a lady studying Voyager data and saw one in outburst on Io, saw the plume coming out from it. So there are volcanoes are very common throughout our solar system. Now, for meteors, Bill, we're talking about the torrid meteors, which come from a comet, Comet Encke, which is the second periodic named comet. It was discovered many times. It was discovered by Herschel, I think Carolyn Herschel. It was discovered by, I don't think Messier found it, but one of his colleagues did, and others. And finally, Encke did the calculations, and he blew it all out of the water by saying, this is a recurring comet. And as it goes around the sun in 3.5 years, it drops a lot of material, some large pieces. And the Earth is going through those large pieces right now. And we might see a few bright meteors in the next day or so.
Hey, David, whatever happened to this battle over the status of Pluto? Is it a planet or isn't it?
Well, that's another thing that we wonder about. The International Astronomical Union, for some reason, decided that it was not.
David?
Wendy?
Yeah?
Hi, Wendy.
I'm on to my interview right
now. Hi, Wendy. Wendy, hi. You're on the air. There you go.
Wendy.
Anyway.
Wendy that was Wendy.
I know. I said hi.
He actually got off before you had a chance.
Yeah. Anyway.
Say hi.
Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto, which probably has volcanoes of its own. Oh, boy, we're getting around today, aren't we, Bill? Pluto was demoted in 2006. And the reason that I don't like that has nothing to do with the science. In fact, I'd probably agree with it. It has to do with my friendship with Clyde, because Clyde was absolutely certain that the IAU was going to take away what he called his signature discovery. And in a sense, they did.
Clyde being Clyde Tombaugh, the discoverer of Pluto, yes.
And the subject of one of my biographies.
And yes, you were the biographer for Mr. Tombaugh.
Yes, and he and I were very close friends. And I remember in his last years he was saying, I wish they'd just wait till after we're gone. They did wait until after Clyde was gone, but Patsy was still living when they demoted Pluto.
Mm.
But,
all right.
I'm sure that's something that bothers him to this day, even though some of his ashes were taken aboard New Horizons to Pluto.
That's right. Yeah, so yeah. He got a trip to Pluto after all.
He did get a trip to Pluto.
Okay. Quote of the month from Dr. David Levy.
This was a tough one. I was going to quote from John Donne's Go and Catch a Falling Star. Then I was going to quote from Jeff Jefferson, who believed that he could easily believe the two Yankee professors would lie and that stones would fall from heaven. But I decided to move to another thing that derives from John Donne, and this is a song written by Perry Como in 1957. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
I remember that song.
When love may come and tap you on the shoulder one starless night.
I remember the Perry Como show. Yes.
Yeah.
I am of that age that I remember Mr. Como.
Too.
I enjoyed it very much as a very little kid watching the show.
Yeah.
David, thank you very much, and I'll let you get back to viewing how the election results are going. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and we'll speak to you next month.
Thanks a lot. Dr. David Levy on the Buckmaster Show.
Bye.
In the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, David Levy appeared on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Silver City has been a great sponsor of the Buckmaster Show, and I want to tell everybody, start planning now. I know that right now that is probably not the best of time to go over to the Land of Enchantment, because they kind of have a policy where they're not really welcoming out-of-state visitors. That's not going to be around forever, so you can start your planning right now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. The website has it's going to really tempt you with some great things to do over there, like hiking the Gila National Wilderness, and, of course, some great places to stay. So do your planning now, southwestnewmexico.org. Coming up next, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, Don Luce. Lots to talk about. When will marijuana be available for folks legally in Arizona? Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Let's go now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, Mr. Don Luce, attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don Luce is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books now in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. Well, Arizonans have decided, Don Luce, that they want to be able to smoke marijuana. The Marijuana Initiative, Proposition 207, has passed. So what is the next step on the implementation of this proposition, Don?
Well, before we get to that, Bill, I'd like to quote the Arizona Republic
referring to Proposition 207 as puff, puff, passed. All right, so the last time around it failed, this time it passed. And one other thing, this is, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, the sixth election that you and I have discussed on air.
Wow.
Starting with the 2010 election, where the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act was on the ballot. And if you remember back 10 years ago, I know it's a long time, and you were very young when this happened, that proposal passed by just a hair, by just a sliver. This time, 10 years later, 60% of the voters voted in favor of legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. So you can see in that 10-year period a tremendous shift in the views and perspectives about marijuana. Interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. And of course, 10 year will be our 10 year anniversary for the show is coming up in January. I didn't realize that this issue has been around that long.
Yeah. So we've been in Arizona. We've been talking about, thinking about, and consuming marijuana for a decade, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And by the way, on that point, there are currently about 280,000 medical marijuana cardholders in the state. So, and I remember when you and I first started talking about medical marijuana, you know, 10 years ago, there were, you could count the cardholders using a number that only had four digits. Now we've got almost 300,000 people who hold medical marijuana cards. So my point is simply, there's been a tremendous shift in public perception as to how marijuana use and possession is viewed. Now, Prop 207, which passed by a wide margin, goes into effect when the results are certified, which is November 30th, which means that you can possess marijuana and you can grow marijuana without being criminally prosecuted, because at that point it'll be legal. There are some limits, however. You can possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana. If you possess more than that, then you can still be prosecuted because that is not legal. And if you're an adult, you can grow up to 6 plants in your house legally. If there's more than one adult in the household, then the household can have twice that number. The household can grow up to 12 plants. Interesting thing, though, that there is still a requirement that the plants be grown sort of in a secure area. So you can't plant the marijuana in the pots on your front porch. Can't do that. but you can grow it in a closet. You can grow it in a secured area outside. But my best advice on that is be discreet and make sure that the area in which the plants are growing is secured.
One of our Facebook friends has a very interesting question. How much new freedom do citizens have when it comes now to marijuana here? I mean, is this going to be widespread use? There are limitations, age limitations and such, correct?
There are, and that's an excellent question. So you have to be 21 years of age or older. So even if you're an adult, if you're not 21 years of age, you cannot legally possess, use, or consume marijuana. You cannot have more than 1 ounce of marijuana in your possession. You cannot have more than 6 plants in your house with one adult, or 12 plants in your house if there's more than one adult in the household. You still cannot smoke marijuana while you're driving, flying, or boating. So no puffing on a joint as you have one hand on the wheel and you're heading down the road. You'll be arrested for that.
How about at work?
No. Smoking marijuana is still illegal in employment situations, and employers have the right to still discriminate against marijuana users and drug tests. So those rules haven't changed. Also, you can still be arrested for DUI if you are impaired by the use of marijuana. There's a bit of a gray area, as there has been for the past several years, or really since the Medical Marijuana Act took effect, and that is what percentage of the metabolite present in your system would indicate that you're driving under the influence. There's no real clear answer. The best advice that I could give, however, is that if you are even slightly impaired by the use of marijuana, you are putting yourself at risk for a DUI. The test that the statute uses is slightest impairment. So you may feel fine after consuming marijuana, but if an officer does a field test on you and determines that you are impaired, you can still be cited for a DUI. Just like you could if you had consumed alcohol and you were impaired by reason of your use of alcohol. So there are still a lot of rules about using marijuana in effect.
All right. I want to quickly go to Ingrid, who's been waiting patiently to speak with you, Don. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Okay. Well, to begin, you know, they think that they're going to get a lot of money from the sales revenue, tax revenues from this, to aid education. Will you see how much money you're going to have to spend on education when children are inhaling secondhand marijuana smoke and they wind up with lower IQs, et cetera? Now, the question, why is it that you can only have a certain amount of marijuana on your premises? How many bottles of gin are we allowed to keep in the house? Vodka, wine. Thank you. I'll hang up and stop talking.
All right.
Ingrid, it's good to hear from you. I'm going to take that as a rhetorical question. but I will suggest this. There is still concern among the citizenry as to the long-term implications or effects of marijuana use, I believe. And I believe that's why these restrictions apply to marijuana consumption, use, and possession, but not necessarily the same restrictions as to alcohol use or possession. Arizona joins 15 states which have legalized recreational use of marijuana. Nationwide, there are 36 states that permit medical use of marijuana. So the trend is clearly across the nation to legalize marijuana usage, whether it's for medical purposes or for recreational use. However, we're not there yet. It's not legal in every state. And in fact, only 30% of the states currently have laws which allow the recreational use of marijuana without prosecution. Arizona just joined one of those 15 states. Interestingly, three other states on Tuesday also passed legislation permitting possession of marijuana for recreational use, and that is those states are New Jersey, South Dakota, and Montana. So Arizona, together with those three states, passed legislation permitting recreational use of marijuana. And then Mississippi on Tuesday passed an initiative allowing medical marijuana, which Arizona has had, as I mentioned, for the past decade.
All right, Don, I'm going to have to leave it right there. And I assume the marijuana will be sold through the distributors of the medical marijuana. Is that correct?
Yes, there's a 10-to-1 ratio, pharmacies to dispensaries. Currently, there are 120 existing dispensaries. Those dispensaries are going to have first shot. There are room for about 10 more licenses. Those are going to be up for grabs. But that is not going to happen until probably March of 2021, where you can go to a dispensary and buy recreational marijuana.
Don Luce, thank you very much, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce, whose two books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. That'd do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Stay safe.